The East-West Link, there's been an announcement by Minister Matthew Guy that he has signed on the dotted line, but there's been changes. Are you aware of what's going on there?
There are apparently, I think you'd only describe them as very significant changes to the original route, to the planned road. This thing's been botched from start to finish, Sally. It's $8 billion, that's stage one, $20 billion in total. The route keeps changing, the details keep changing. And now Matthew Guy's apparently given a tick-off to this project and intends to sign contracts in October. As your listeners know, the election is in November. Why not let people across Victoria cast their own judgment, make up their own minds about whether this project is the project we need or whether this money should go into public transport, or perhaps there'd be many other places where this money could go. But to sign us up to a project that every 5 minutes it changes, it's a new project.
But with respect, isn't it sort of he's responding to consultation, which is something I've been having a go at today about the federal government,
sure.
Not responding to consultation. I would have thought that these changes are because of the consultation.
Well, he's moving through or running through what is a statutory process. So the law requires there to be a planning process. Some might take a very charitable view and say, look, this is a better set of proposals than what was originally put out there. I think what's most important is to focus on the fact that after the green light provided by Minister Guy today, the government, Dennis Napthine's Liberal government, is going to arrogantly try and sign contracts to this project in October. The election's only just a few weeks
after. Yeah, but it hasn't been going on for a long time, so it's...
Only a couple of years. Only a couple of years. And $8 billion.
Okay.
But then to sign up to this project just a few weeks before Victorians vote, when there's no agreement on whether this is the project we need.
But so if the polls are looking in your favour at the moment, is if you win the election, will you toss it out? You can toss it out if you get that mandate, can't you?
Well, what I want to do is I want to try and... Well, whether it be pressure or maybe we might even persuade Dennis Napthine not to sign these contracts so that no one's bound by them. If Labor wins the election, the money can be invested in public transport. If Dennis Napthine wins the election, then obviously he'll be out there building his $20 billion toll road tunnel.
So what will you be doing if you win?
Well, what I want to do is make sure that the world's most livable city's got a world-class public transport system, and that's Melbourne Metro Rail. So that's a proper Melbourne, that is a doubling of the size of the City Loop, a proper Melbourne Metro project. Do it once, do it properly. No train timetable needed, Sally, in the morning peak. No train timetable needed in the afternoon peak. You know,
airport train?
No, you've got to get the loop capacity issue done first. At the moment, there's just not enough room for all the trains to get a slot in the loop, if you like, to get space in the loop. Once you double the size of the City Loop, you can run those extra services. You can run a morning and afternoon peak without a timetable, like so many of the great cities of the world. After that, then, of course, other train lines
so
can
is that,
happen.
So is that going to solve the problems of the people who use our roads? Isn't that what East-West Link is also for, to try and solve the current congestion?
Well, the real problem with it is that, you know, the talk of East-West Link and the actual realities are two different things. We haven't seen the business case. We haven't seen the traffic modelling. We've got lots of big talk from the government and a big bill, $8 billion, signed up to just weeks before Victorians vote. If it's such a good project, get out and sell it. Let Victorians choose. Let Victorians vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm happy to respect the verdict of the Victorian people. I just can't understand why Dennis Napthine won't.
But you just said that you want the best things, but will you continue the East-West Link if you get in?
Well, no contracts have been signed.
And no, but would you?
If contracts are not signed, mm-hmm. then we will not proceed
with
the East-West Link. Every dollar of that money will go into public transport. That's what we need. That's what the Victorian community are calling out for.
And if they... Well, haven't the state government done consultation? You're saying they haven't done enough consultation to get to this point.
There is consultation on, if you like, the planning elements of the road as they propose to build it. Whether you build the road or not, that's the broader question.
So you're wanting the question of whether we want it. So that's going to be a key issue for the November election. If it's not signed, and if it is signed...
If Dennis Napthine's got the bravery... Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think the decency to not sign those contracts just weeks before Victorians vote. Let's have a choice on it. Let's treat the Victorian community like adults. Let's let them make their own judgment. Let's respect that judgment and then go forward from there.
But if they are signed, you're committed? You have
to
commit to
that's exactly right. Okay. That's why. But I'm not for a moment on today of all days when we've seen the details of this project change yet again.
Mm.
I'm not going to give Dennis Napthine some green light oh, that's fine if you want to sign contracts just weeks before the election. I'm not accepting that. I don't think that's right. I think that is a cowardly act. Okay. So the pressure will be kept on Dennis Napthine, and we're going to keep arguing. Okay. Let Victorians decide. I think Victorians are much smarter than Dennis Napthine thinks they are. Let them work it out for themselves. Do they want a road they'll never use that costs $20 billion or better public transport?
On the line is Matthew Guy, the State Planning Minister. Minister Guy, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Sally.
Now, I believe that we've heard the news that you've approved the East-West Link, but with some changes. Can you actually tell us what you've signed off on?
The Advisory Committee report, and it's been a long process, has made recommendations to myself, and by the legislation I'm certainly obligated to have regard to all of those recommendations. But what we've signed off, or what I've signed off on, is a project that includes the flyover bridge in the Hoddle Street end, the eastern portal being similar in the area where it is now, and then you would have a tunnel, which the advisory committee support, and coming out to the western section. And what I've considered as one project, which is the what's called Part A and B, that's down to the port up to the Tullamarine interchange, as one project, the advisory committee recommended it as two, but I've chosen, as I can, to consider it as one. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, to move the Elliott Avenue interchange, or at least look at locating it otherwise. So you've got the guts of what I think is a very, very important project, as your previous caller said, and it's important for two reasons. It's about jobs and the way we live. And this is very important for jobs and the future of our economy, moving goods from the east to the west to the north of our city, and the way we live, about how we can move ourselves around our city in a better, more efficient way.
Now, we've had the opposition leader on today, and we've also heard from the leader of the Greens, who, not surprisingly, are saying, oh, this is all too quick, this is all too soon. This consultation's been on for a couple of years, hasn't it?
Daniel Andrews is a quizzical character. I mean, when he was in government a few years ago, he supported this project. Now he goes to opposition and he opposes it. I mean, funny enough, people have got the right to be sceptical about his opposition to this project, given his previous Premier, John Brumby, was quite rightly in support of it. And that's because, and let me use their arguments, the then Labor government's arguments at the time, it was the most important road project for job generation and job retention in Victoria, and surely those points haven't changed. So I find it rather odd that Daniel Andrews would then run around saying all of a sudden he opposes this project, and all he's got as a replacement is an unbudgeted, unfunded program to remove level crossings that, frankly, he can't pay for.
So can I put to you, he said, and his spokesperson, Brian T, said, we don't have a business plan, we don't have traffic projections, and now we don't even have a finalised route. How do you respond to that?
Well, Brian T, unfortunately, doesn't seem to know planning law or necessarily read planning documents. It's just unfortunate because he's Labor's planning spokesman. At the end of the day, the route that's been outlined today is actually very clear. The LMA can come back and actually, through the planning processes, make it clear as to where the final determination should be, as is stipulated in the Act of Parliament I've used to assess the project. And the Act of Parliament I've used to assess the project is an Act of Parliament that was passed by the Labor government, which Brian T supported.
Okay, so can I get down to stuff that people who live in the area may want to know the answer to? And that is, first of all, the changes to Elliott Avenue, will it completely save Royal Park, or is there still some impact?
Well, that's all to be determined in the next phase, which is the development plan. Mm-hmm. My job is to approve the planning, or to give planning approval to a project. The only way I'd describe this to the people listening today is that this is like approving a rezoning, and then will come the applications for the structures on top. So this is what I've done today is the equivalent of approving the rezoning for the plans for the project, and then what will come is obviously the development application as to where things will go, how they'll go, where the staging grants for the project will be. And that's as you would expect in any major infrastructure project, sure. Sally. That's just the way things are done.
So with the rezoning, though, will Royal Park still stay as a park, not to be touched by industrial or by roads?
Well, it certainly won't be touched by industrial, and it certainly won't be touched by others. So,
or a road.
So at the end of the day, I've said that the Elliott Avenue off-ramp, the interchange, should be moved. That was a recommendation of the panel. That's something I've agreed with.
Okay, one of the other things, obviously, there'll be people who sort of with expecting under the previous incarnation that their houses may be acquired. There'll be other people now concerned it might be theirs. Is there any changes to whose houses are going to be acquired?
No, the staging ground for the project boundaries, as originally submitted, I believe, should be the project boundaries that that we go forward with. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is it's up to the proponent, which is the Linking Melbourne Authority, to then come in a development plan to put forward what they believe will be the final design or the final area, and that goes to an assessment committee, which has got people from VicRoads, people who are on the chair of the advisory committee who made these recommendations, and they then give an advice back to the government.
So just in summary, can I just get it clear? Royal Park, how much will be impacted, how much will be left, how much will be touched, and also the zoo?
Well, certainly nothing of the Melbourne Zoo. The project goes a little further westward than the Melbourne Zoo, so I don't think the zoo's got anything to worry about at all.
But Royal Park?
Well, Royal Park, will depend on what is put forward in the development plan through the Linking Melbourne Authority, but the key point about Royal Park was particularly around things like Elliott Avenue Interchange and others, and that isn't being touched.
So you don't have a development plan it's been signed off on?
No, the development plan is the next incarnation. That comes from the proponent, which is the Linking Melbourne Authority. Okay. As I said, my job is to assess the planning merits of this project. Okay. That's what the Act says I should do. That's what I've done, and that's the first time this Act has been used since the Labor government passed it in 2010.
So can I just put to you the other comment made by the Leader of the Opposition, which was you're signing off on this within a month of an election. Why don't you put it to the people?
Well, you know, the Labor government say all these things, and what I would ask is why did they approve wind farms 200 metres from people's homes just 4 days from the proroguing of Parliament, or indeed 4 days from going to election? I mean, you know, you could raise this from a whole range of other issues, but at the end of the day, we have an infrastructure agenda as a government. Labor have nothing but more words, more negativity. I think Victorians just want a government to get on, build them train links and road links for the future, and that's what the Liberal Nationals are doing.
Okay, look, thank you very much, Minister Guy, State Planning
Thanks,
Minister.
Alex.